We're Kevin and Courtney Gilroy, best friends turned married parents and entrepreneurs who know that health is the first wealth and that while parenthood is the most important job we'll ever have, it's not the only job we'll ever have.
Join us and other health-conscious parents as we grow our empires while growing our families in the healthiest ways possible for both.
Parenthood and entrepreneurship aren't mutually exclusive. We're going to have the conversations that help you prioritize, plan, and profit in your organic family.
This is the Organic Family CEO Podcast.
Hey, organic parents. Question for you. Does having technology around your young kids scare you at all? I have to be the first to admit, technology scares me. That Disney movie WALL-E is so spot on, and that's frightening. And then you layer in the Social Dilemma documentary. Oh my goodness. But our fears aren't going to stop the world from moving forward. Keeping our kids from using technology, using screens, it's not going to stop the fact that they're going to grow up in a world that uses them everywhere. If we don't allow our kids to experience technology, we're feeling like we're setting them up to be challenged in a new way. So we've made the conscious choice to raise our kids to be tech conscious, not screen free. And in today's episode, I wanted to share a couple of ways that we're thinking about and bringing about that tech consciousness. So here's how we do that. First, we model the social behaviors we want to see from our kids around technology. For example, when we sit down for a meal, there's no phones at the table. If we're in the middle of a conversation when we get a new message alert, we don't interrupt our current conversation with the new one. We anchor most technology use to a recurring event. When we go into the car, for example, our phones connect to a podcast, something we're learning and engaging with. When we come home, our phones go on the charging station and they essentially become a landline for the rest of the night. When my Nana, bless her heart, was still with us, we would video chat her every other Thursday at the nursing home to get to see her face to screen. Every Saturday afternoon, Kev FaceTimes the kids with his parents who are out of state or with one of his 10 siblings or some other family member or family friend who we just haven't seen in a while. When it's a weekend night, like Friday and Saturday nights, we pull the family room sleeper sofa out and do a Disney classic family movie night and pair it with the fun snacks and maybe a little bit later of a bedtime. There's predictability and purpose around each tech moment. There's connection, there's education, there's a boundary. And in our home, we make sure that technology always has the purpose of something more than just passing the time. So next, speaking of time, we set time boundaries for the entire household. Research is already showing us that screen time impacts our sleep cycles negatively. So we do our best, save those Disney classic movie nights, to not watch TV or use smartphones in the 2 hours leading up until bedtime. We'll clean the house up after dinner, go for a walk with the dogs, play together in the backyard if it's nice out, come in for the whole bath story, brushing teeth, PJs, you know, the whole bedtime routine, right? Now, in early parenthood, the boundaries were hard to stick with at first, especially after having had, you know, the newlywed years of just getting to Netflix and chill and go to bed after, right? But we've found that with implementation and really committing to sticking to these, that we favored those boundaries and routines substantially more. And when we've done that, we've noticed incredible changes in all of our moods. Our kids' temperaments and their sleep quality is just incredible when we really make sure that the screens are away and the routine is in place. And beyond that, even when they're a little bit older than, you know, this four-year-old range that we're in right now, we're also keenly aware that research has shown an eighth grader's risk for depression jumps 27% when he or she frequently uses social media. So even though our kids aren't sneaking smartphones into bed and, you know, doing the Instagram scroll right now, we are on alert over here that there's a very real possibility for that demand and action. And We just want to make sure that we're prioritizing that in-person routine and engagement over the social media wherever possible. So something to be thinking about. A really key thought for Kev and I has been the idea of not making technology the enemy. And, you know, of course, with the story I'm about to share, there are a lot of factors that could go into something like what I'm about to share with you. But on a very high level, I'll share this. I had a girlfriend in high school whose mom was a health nut, but my girlfriend just wasn't. She just didn't have the natural interest in working out all the time or eating all these crazy, you know, smoothies and shakes and healthy foods and whatever. My girlfriend was healthy and she, you know, took care of herself, but she just didn't have that fitness interest. And this is probably partially why we're such good friends, because I was not that sort of vibe either, right? But her mom, as well-intentioned as she was, she would only have healthy food in the house, totally forbade fast food, talked about her strong food opinions and her strong workout opinions all the time. It was so strong and in your face and just big. And so when my girlfriend got to college and she got to live independently, she found herself with something more like the freshman 50 instead of the freshman 15. And she attributes that to healthy food having become the enemy. There was so much rigidity and rules and crazy pushback and no flex that she felt like she just went completely off the rails because she suddenly had this independence and could just go for it. So it was anything greasy and tempting in sight. And what then followed for her was the debilitating few years of really trying to find a middle ground relationship with food after that overconsumption. There, up until that point, had been no conversation or self-education about what made her feel good and healthy and over what made her feel really crappy and unhealthy. And she felt like she didn't know how to think about her own food philosophy for herself. And even when she did figure that out and, you know, moved into finding what rhythm worked really well for her, she struggled with having the self-control to uphold those initial points day to day, right? So I share that because, you know, food and nutrition, much like technology, has an addictive component. And, you know, with stories like that in mind, Kev and I have just been conscious of, you know, maybe making anything the enemy is something we want to be not doing. Like, we don't want to deprive our kids to the point where they just have no understanding or relationship for themselves of what makes them feel good and not so good. And we've promised to just stay honest with them about anything, and technology included, about what they want to figure out and could figure out for themselves. So we have gentle conversations about how looking too long at the TV could make your head hurt or make you maybe need some glasses or could make you feel grumpy and overtired because it makes your sleep a little funnier. And so we've been having those lighter conversational moments with our daughter since she was about two. And honestly, she got it. She gets it. And there is a healthy relationship with technology. And we think maybe because of that softer edge. So all of that I've shared so far is offered with flex and not rigidity. And then something else I want to make mention of too in tech consciousness with kids is that we've been prioritizing non-technology related education styles. And here's why. Many Silicon Valley executives steer their children toward a more basic creative education style like Montessori or Waldorf. And those don't focus on technology. And so Kevin and I got really curious, well, that's interesting. Why? What we've noticed is that those executives set environmental boundaries, like using technology while supervised at home to do something productive. And we've noticed that those executives set environmental boundaries for using technology while supervised, like learning something productive about how the technology actually functions. So We found that so interesting. And for example, Elon Musk's kids are encouraged to break down and then reassemble the technology equipment that they find interesting. So for example, his children are homeschooled, I believe. And he had one of their tutors walk them through taking apart an engine and then teaching them how it works and put it back together because the kids were curious about engines and how motors worked, right? And that right there is an example of a productive interaction over something like hours playing a game or being on Snapchat, right? And we have to admit, those executives are clearly onto something and they know something or many things that we just don't know, including just how addictive technology can really be. I mean, they make their living off of the neuroscientist-led approaches to designing the intentionally addictive apps and devices. So we're going to take a page from their book and say, hey, we want our children to be the creators, not the consumers. And I'll follow their lead on choosing that education style. So to encourage that in our house, we choose to keep simple, open-ended toys made of natural materials available for play as much as possible. We try to limit the blinking and the musical plastic ones as much as we can, but hey, again, flexibility, everything in moderation is fine by us. And I think our list could probably go on, but I will cut myself off there because I think that there's a lot that can go into tech consciousness, and especially as the conversation expands, we would love to hear how you're stepping into that decision making. So I'm curious, what tech conscious decisions have you made in your household? What ones are you considering? We would love to continue the conversation with you inside of our free community at organicfamilyceo.com/community. And until next time, moms and dads, thank you so much for choosing to use some of your tech time with us. Thank you for listening. This episode might be over, but the conversation is just getting started.
Join us inside our free community for health and wealth conscious parent entrepreneurs at organicfamilyceo.com/community.
And if you loved what you heard today, consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts along with your Instagram handle so that more like-minded parent entrepreneurs can find the show and so that you can be entered to win a free coaching session with Kevin or Courtney.
Thank you so much for listening.